Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse for Chiropractors. Hosted by Dr. Don McDonald, author of the best-selling book, The Underdog Curse. We give vitalistic chiropractors a chance to learn from the best around the world, discovering how they overcame their challenges and achieved success. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Now listen up. It's time to crush the curse. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host. And today I got to talk to a past fellow Albertan. Me and this gentleman did a run to protect chiropractic from drugs, and we lost. And we'll probably talk about that a little bit later. He's since moved down to Florida, and he's helped some chiropractors with some Facebook ads, and he started from scratch. So I got a lot of good questions for him because we've got a lot of listeners out there who are either starting a practice for the first time, or maybe they've just moved to a new location and, you know, they don't know very many people and they're just trying to get out there. So I think this is going to be a very cool interview. So I want to introduce Dr. Enrico Dolcicor to the call. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Don.
So what I like to do with all my my guests is I just like to get them to tell me a little bit about why you got into chiropractic in the first place. Kind of get a little to know you a little bit better.
Yeah. I always knew I wanted to be a doctor and help people and be in the healthcare field since I was a kid. Probably ingrained into me with my grandparents and my parents and, you know, be a doctor. But I always was into the physiology and the biology, and I hurt myself in high school playing football. First saw a chiropractor because my parents never saw a chiropractor. We never saw chiropractors, but my mom's best friend's son had just graduated from CMCC. And she's like, go see Charlie. So I went to go see Charlie, but an amazing thing happened. I always had asthma. I always had to use a ventilator before and after the games or practices. And then after seeing a chiropractor for like 4 weeks, I was like, I've never had an asthma attack since. So I'm like, wait, there's something to this chiropractic thing. And he was a doctor. He had his own clinic and taught me a little bit about chiropractic. And yeah, I applied and went to Palmer, and the rest is history.
That's cool. Where did you grow up?
In Calgary.
In Calgary. Okay. Yeah. So you grew up there the whole time, right? That's awesome. So what kind of made you decide to go to Palmer? That's where I went, by the way. So Palmer pride, sort of. Yeah.
At the university, I was another girl that played on our softball team applied, and she got in and started in July 04. And she's like, yeah, I'm going in July. And I was like, wow, I should apply too. And I applied to Palmer and CMCC, and I started to try after her. And then a year into Palmer, I got a call from CMCC saying, hey, you've been accepted. I'm like, yeah, but I'll be done here in 2 years. So thanks for no thanks.
I'm already started. Yeah.
I'm already halfway through this thing. So yeah, that's how I ended up there. Just kind of, you know how they say the funny thing in chiropractic, you don't choose chiropractic, it chooses you.
Yeah.
I'm a classic choice of chiropractic for sure.
That's cool. And so tell me a little bit about your time at Palmer. How did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. I met my wife, you know, she graduated in our class. We're now chiropractors together. Great class too. And the people that I was around and where we're moving forward now, it's just a cool group. And Davenport was cool because you're a Davenport grad too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just a great, an Alberta boy going down there. It was a change of pace, but it was fun. It was great. Yeah.
Well, it's really cool. Me and Brandy went back because it was my 20-year anniversary, and we went back to the, I didn't go to the homecoming because, like, again, we'll talk about that later, but like, I like more of the kind of the philosophy vitalistic speakers, and they didn't have hardly any of those at all. But we just went back and hung out at the old places and went down to Boozy's and went to like all the, just the old places that everybody used to hang out. And it was actually, we had a lot of fun. Like it was actually really cool. Like, I don't know. Have you been able to get back since you graduated?
I actually had to I didn't write part four boards when I was at school. So I had to go back a couple years ago.
Yeah.
To write part four to be able to practice in Florida. So I went there and met up with a couple people, and but this is our 10 year this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Next week is our 10 year anniversary. So I wonder if we're going to get together this summer at homecoming or something. We'll see.
That's cool. So anybody who's listened to this podcast, who's in your class, somebody get on organizing that. Cause let's I went it. There and I seriously 20 years, and I didn't see one person from my class.
Oh no. Oh, I hope we get a few.
Yeah, I know. So throw the message out there, but
I will. Yeah.
Anyway. So you graduate. you go back to Calgary, and what did you do? Did you open your own place, or did you associate, or?
Yeah, I associated with Dr. Dennis Simons. He's still in Calgary.
Yeah.
And I did my preceptorship with him. They were opening up a bunch of multidisciplinary clinics. I worked at another branch in Northwest Calgary when they opened up their new clinic and realized in 2 months, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And Christine and I bought a practice from a retiring doc and started from there.
That's cool. And so when you guys started up, you bought an existing practice then, right? So
yeah.
So what kind of learnings did you have purchasing a practice?
Yeah, get second and fifth and tenth opinions before you dive into a purchase, just like a home.
Yeah.
When you're buying a business, there's not as many on the market as a home, right? So there's like two that we liked. So by default, we chose one. But definitely, there's so many people in the profession willing to help you and give you free advice. Like, it doesn't even have to cost you anything. Definitely reach out to people who've done it before. The things you look at are definitely metrics, which, you know, on paper look good, but you should be, you know, shadow a little bit, get in there, get to know their practice. Don't be afraid to ask them for their T4s for the last 3 years. Like, people don't look at that stuff. They just look at the business financials.
Right.
But if their T4 shows $11,000 in income, you gotta kind of wonder what's going on. Right. So that's my biggest tip, but get use the sources out there.
Yeah. Know the information right before you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when you open practice, cause again, and that's kind of interesting too, cause when you take over an existing practice, there's probably a little bit of like people that match you and then some people that don't. And so you kind of lose some people, right?
Yeah.
But at least you have a base.
Yes.
And so what did you do? Because again, I'm thinking of a lot of the people that are listening that are just opening their practice or they're just plateaued and they're having a hard time. Back in the day, because we're going to talk about Facebook in a second, but back in the day, what did you do to grow your practice?
Yeah, that was, so 2008 was the Google days and Yellow Pages were at their peak, kind of conversion from Yellow Page to online. And I was lucky that a couple of new patients that came in off the bat from the area ended up being marketers and they really wanted to help me as a young doc, which was cool, outside of chiropractic, which was cool. So I had some mentorships and great patients that wanted to help and because they really loved what we were doing. Because we completely gutted the office when we moved in and brought in an x-ray machine and some upper cervical. So the patient base there was like, holy smokes, I haven't been getting this since 1988. So,
right.
Because that's when he started. But so that's what we did. And we really got into the online presence. We bought a substation right away. So our PVA. So he was seeing about 120 a week. I took over. He told me he's from Hong Kong. He was from Hong Kong. And told me, you know, about 1% of the clinic spoke Chinese. It was probably about 50%. My Chinese is horrible.
Yeah.
So we lost all 50% and we were like seeing 55 a week. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? These are not the numbers we supplied to the bank last year.
Right.
So we had to learn really quick.
Yeah.
So, and I got into, I'm like, I started searching, you know, right away outside of chiropractic. I'm like, what's going on? So I ran into, out of all people, Dr. Jin Tempo, Dr. David Jackson, back before Epic Practice, you know, all these guys, and you follow their emails, you kind of listen to what they had to say, the free advice, got a substation, our PBA went from like 11 to 28, because now people wanted to get to their next progress exam, you know, something as simple as that, and just a huge learning curve for Christine and I, and just being willing to ask for help. I think the biggest problem is we're doctors, we're type A, we don't need help. When we started first try, we were ready to be doctors. We just wanted to be done and make $1 million a year. And then we get out, we're like, I don't know if I'm ever going to make $1 million.
I don't even know what I'm doing, period.
Yeah, what's going to happen? So don't be afraid to reach out.
Yeah. And did you do any screenings or talks or anything like that? Any external stuff?
Screening mavens. Like we were all over the community. We just wanted to get, we knew we had to get attention.
Yeah.
So, and we did all the big ones, the woman show, the baby show, the boat show. And we started realizing this is ridiculous. Nobody wants to see a chiropractor at a boat show. And then what was most valuable was the local community events right across the street. The local communities, Sunday barbecue in the park, annual barbecue, Father's Day parade, whatever these little things were, the $100 sponsorship. They were so happy that the local chiropractor did that.
Yeah.
The patient, and then you just get out there and then the years go by and you have all these seeds that have been planted. So screenings were valuable. We had Dave Major come in a few times and do some stuff for us.
Nice.
talks at high schools. I remember talking to high school kids and getting high school kids as patients, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That wasn't the goal. I was just going to teach about chiropractic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of internal talks, just saying, you know what, we know some stuff, come and listen. And got into pediatrics and ICPA and then neurology, and just leveraging your certainty to your community.
No, that's awesome. And did you grow pretty fast, or did you have a everybody has kind of growth and plateaus, but was there, did you kind of like have some frustration in there, or how did that go?
Yeah, there was ups and downs. My metrics are abnormal. If you look at from 2008 to 2016, it's just a plot graph that is a straight line of 3 to 4% increase like every year. It's like what you learn in math class. But so mine is not a good example, but we just had this growth and retention that just always stayed. But from month to month, like a lot of change.
Up and down. But you worked at it though too. Like, it's not like you were working your butt off, right? You weren't like just...
Oh yeah, no, that line doesn't go up by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it doesn't. And you learn more, and you learn how to strengthen care plans and be flexible with them. There was a phase we went through where we went through some coaching, of course, and you're told, if they don't sign the care plan, kick them out.
Yeah, all or none.
That doesn't work.
No.
So we learned how to be flexible and not being afraid of a patient dictating a little bit of the financial care and being like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
If you're willing to stick to this, I'm cool with bending, not your price, not your fee.
Yeah.
But maybe they don't need a 74 visit care plan.
Right. Yeah.
They're like, oh, can I come in 30 times?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say no.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great start, or 10 or whatever it is. So,
right.
Just things that we learned.
Yeah. And I always call it like the conveyor of law of cause and effect, right? As long as we've now changed maybe our expectations that things are going to come around maybe as quickly as we'd expect, but it's still better than not doing anything at all, right? And then we're also indoctrinating them or educating them along the way. And you never know when they totally make that change, right?
Right.
Cool. So things are rocking and rolling, and then, this is where our paths kind of cross a bit. And then all of a sudden, a few years ago, we get a message through our email that Alberta is suddenly going to want to prescribe drugs. And we're just like, whoa, where did this come from? But they didn't ask us, right? They just told us they're going to do it. And so, we all tried to organize all of the vitalistic chiropractors in Alberta, and I ran for council, and so did you. And so what was kind of, probably people have already heard me go on my reasons why I did, but like, what was kind of your purpose and motivation to step up and run for council to kind of go against that trend?
Two spots opened up on council and only one name was on there, Don. And I was like, well, somebody's got to step up to the plate. And my wife is like, you can't do this right now. And I'm like, watch me. I was like, somebody's got to do it. And I didn't know. I was still a young doc, 7 years into practice at that point. But I knew we couldn't do nothing. This is one thing that you can't stand on the sidelines for.
Yeah.
And then when I reached out, I said, guys, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here. The support was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was crazy. And like, for some people out there that might not have known, is that when we did come, it was like the big, like a Mayweather fight.
Totally. We sold it out.
Sure. Yeah. It was like the largest AGM in the history of Alberta, and they had to actually get a new location because they couldn't actually fit people in the location. It was just a huge, huge event, and we lost.
Yeah. Cashed in, but we lost. Yeah,
we cashed in. But we take the learnings, right? So totally. We wanted to come in because we're all in, and we were just talking before the podcast that we both had kind of created a divergence in our lives after that, right? And so maybe share a little bit about what your mindset was after that happened.
Yeah, I remember texting my wife, couldn't make it because it was our daughter's birthday. That's what it was, her first birthday. So my in-laws were in town, but I drove up to Red Deer to do the thing. And I'm texting her on the way home with a few docs in the car because we all drove together. I'm like, I didn't win. And neither did Dawn. And they were just like, well, how did that even happen? And and when I got home, and my in-laws from the U.S. were there, and my wife and I just said, maybe we got to think differently. not that we were sour or anything like that, but it just opened up the doors. There's like a moment of a hole or a void in your life where you, man, I lost. That sucks. That feeling of loss.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, what else? And it kind of opened up our eyes. Like our practice was our baby, was our home until we had our first baby.
Yeah.
And we just never thought outside of that. I was always building this, serving the community, helping people get better. And then it just felt like that whole, all those walls crumbled.
Yeah.
Like the world was coming down on us when it really isn't.
Who yeah. Cares? Yeah. Drugs, it was super disappointing. That's
disappointing. Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it. And now I'm 3,250 miles away from where I was at that point.
Away from the ground zero.
No. from ground zero. So I'm in Tampa, Florida. And that was, I was talking to Don before this and I said, I don't think I've actually told anyone this outside of my wife. Like that was the pivotal moment where we were like, you know, maybe this isn't the place. But we also knew Alberta on a chiropractic level. If there's one place a good chiropractor could leave a place in good hands, it's Alberta. There's so many great chiropractors there. And the population is ahead of the world. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? If you just train another good doc, the people here will be okay. Where I am now, they need me much more.
and I'll go into the next stage. But I was just saying, it was funny because for me, when that happened, me and Brandy really had a realization that why are we trying to save the whole profession when only 30% want to be vitalistic and want to do things without drugs? So then I wrote my book and I've done this, the podcast, and we've created the Vitality Shift. And so we're just totally focusing on helping the chiropractors that actually want to be vitalistic, and all the other guys, you know, that's fine. If they want to, you know, treat pain, that's cool. It's still chiropractic, but I'm not fighting it anymore. I'm just here to help the people that are like us.
Yeah, totally. It was so draining too. I realized how it didn't serve me or anyone around me being so emotional about something that, you know, a lot of people in the profession are not mindful for. The thing I learned when I went around to meet as many chiropractors during that time, which was cool because I got to meet a lot of them and shake their hand. I actually wanted to meet them personally, you know, before the vote.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what part of this bill do you like, or the white paper do you like that you're going to implement into your practice? And the most common thing was, I don't know. And the other one was, you know, joint injections. I hope I can do some, the sports guys were all about joint injections. And I'm like, you do realize there's nothing in this white paper about that. And they're like, what? You will not be able to do an injection after this white paper passes. You do know that, right? And like, oh, I thought it was like joint. So it just the lack of information that was there from the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was cool to learn the reasons why, and it gave me more fuel to the fire to go ahead and do this, but it is what it is.
That's cool. So that leads us to the next journey. You head down to Florida and now you sold your practice and you start working down there and you got to start from scratch. How was that?
Yeah, I thought an associateship. So the doctor that I started with down here, I started talking to him like 2-3 years ago now. He was, so that's what kind of influenced us to move to Tampa. So we were thinking Tampa, we were actually thinking Hawaii first. We were thinking about moving to Hawaii. That was the truth. And then after doing some research, it's just not feasible. We'd be farther away from family, a longer trek, landlocked, not super great for chiropractic.
Yeah.
Raising kids on the island is a lot of different. So we were kind of turned off from that. Started talking to this doc. We're like, yeah, Tampa looks good. You know, we sold our house and we bought double the house for half the price. You
know, nice. I know. Cool, it's so stuff. Expensive here in Alberta.
Crazy. Yeah, so crazy. And actually, in the meantime, met up with Chris Zeno. I'm sure he's okay with me sharing this. For his open position 2 years ago, and actually was going to take that position.
Yeah.
Because he's now transitioned away from that clinic. So I went down there, chatted with him, and I'm like, honey, I call him. Like, maybe we're going to Houston. And then we looked into that. We're like, no, this is too last minute to kind of decide Texas.
Yeah.
But we realized no matter where we were going to choose, was going to get hit by a hurricane. So Houston, Tampa, whatever.
Jeepers, I know. Right? Yeah. That's one thing. We complain about the winter here, but we don't have hurricanes. So that's the one thing.
Yeah. They're not as, they're whatever. So we're in Tampa now, and I start with the associateship. And of course, you know how it is in the profession. We all treat our associates very nicely. And I've got a busy practice. I need help. You get there and you realize their definition of help is not what you thought when you ran a practice yourself.
Yep.
So they're like, okay, go out and get patients. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, I haven't been doing this for a few years. So how do you screen with no network? Where do you go?
Yeah.
You know, what midwives do you call? What physical therapists do you call? You know, what, I don't have the network. So, you know, online it is, website, and start learning about Facebook.
Yeah.
And I actually hired some of these Facebook marketers. I hired three different ones and realized they were all using the same template. So they must have all gone to some type of convention where they were taught by Brunson and ClickFunnels on how to do funneling. And that was all the rage in 2016 and 17. So I'm like, you know what? I got the time. I spent hours. I spent money. I bought the courses, online webinars, subscriptions. And I just realized the same template is being sold to chiropractors, and chiropractors are being targeted. Dentists are being targeted. You know, different realtors are being targeted
as
clients for these marketers. And it kind of sat a little sour for me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to do this myself. Started getting new patients. And it all turned out to a Facebook post where I put in and I said, wow, I got 14 new patients last week off Facebook. And then all my peers from Palmer are like, what are you doing to get this? I'm like, well, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I started helping docs for free at home and just off my time. And then a couple months goes by and Christine's like, dude, like you're spending like 4 hours every night setting up other docs' Facebook ads. You know, you got to either charge something, open up a business or, and I still haven't done that, but I've been helping them learn how to do this themselves. And instead of it costing thousands, it can cost a few hundred bucks and it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. So not to give all away your secrets, but what would you say? What's something that someone can start with? Because again, some chiropractors don't really know anything about Facebook ads. Maybe just kind of give a little overview of how it works.
Yeah. The most basic, Facebook knowledge by chiropractors is I don't have a Facebook page.
Yeah.
So that's like, okay, let's start. Facebook is FAC, you know, put that in your URL. And so those are different stories. Those are usually older docs that just haven't gone into social media. The younger ones are like, I've done boosts.
Yeah.
Is that marketing? I'm like, no, it's really not marketing. And I actually go into some details about how that's kind of a waste of time. Honestly, if you're going to boost a post, because you got 100 likes on it or your followers like the post, you're better off putting your information on that boost, like your phone number and clinic address.
Yeah.
And then boosting something like that. So at least it has a call to action or something to it rather than, you know, sciatica can be treated by back pain and a nice picture of a person with low back pain boosts or, you know, it doesn't work that way. So there's a back end to Facebook called Ads Manager.
Yes.
Where you can go into and then target ads. And this is where Facebook marketing has actually taken over Google. They're actually the leading source of online advertising.
Right.
Next to Google. I think they take about 35% of the market share right now, which is huge.
That's huge.
It's huge. So that's what I've been teaching them, and I'm shooting some videos on our page. Anyone's welcome to come join. Just join. It's a closed group for reasons. I'm sure in a few months, marketers would love to be part of this group, but that's what I'm trying to shield chiropractors from is not that they're bad.
But yeah.
If you learn how to do it yourself, you may learn that you may not need someone else for thousands of dollars to be doing that for you per month.
Totally. Now, can you leave, what's the name of the group so that someone who's listening to this might be able to look you up on Facebook?
Yeah. FB Marketing for Chiropractors 101.
Okay. That's awesome. And they can just like apply to join, or is it something where you have to clarify it? Like they have
you search, you put it in and you say join group and it says waiting for response. So I'll get a little thing on my thing, pop up. And there's a couple of questions we ask. Are you a chiropractor? And when did you graduate?
Yeah.
Just two questions. Make sure you answer it. And then I check it. I click on the profile, make sure they have a clinic or something. I just want to make sure they're not a marketer. That's all I'm doing. Just, we don't need a marketer in there saying, you know, oh, Enrico doesn't know what he's talking about.
Come
join me.
Oh yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So I hired a few of them, you know, some of them were $1,500 a month. Some of them were $2,500 a month. And that's okay if they value themselves at that point, I'm okay with that. But when I saw the template being repeated, I mean, word for word,
wow.
I was like, wow, this, you guys didn't make this up. This is from somewhere and you're just selling it to, which is fine. It's okay. You know, it's kind of like a care plan, right?
Yeah.
It really is. And that's fine. I respect it. But I was just like, you know what? This kind of twerks me the wrong way. So I'm going to help chiropractors do it. I got the time.
Yeah.
Not seeing very many patients. I'm growing.
Yeah.
But now that we're opening up our new practice, I'm sure I might not have the time to help as many. But if I create a Facebook group where people can start sharing and talking to each other.
Yeah. And it's like a support group, right? Where people can just chat back and forth. So and these are some of the things that I've heard, and we'll just throw them out there and then just give me your opinion on it, because we've heard that, you know, Facebook groups for your office are great for your existing people and to keep connected with them. And it's kind of like your branding to keep, it's almost like retention, right? Cool. But I haven't heard, like I just even personally haven't heard too many people who have used it for new patients. And are you doing it to lead them to a dinner talk, or are you just to an exam, or how do you typically go about attracting new patients through your ads?
Yeah, last year was great. I tried everything. I tried to do it for new patients, for offers, for pediatrics, for talks that we're going to do in the office, for dinner with the doc, for lunch and learns. I just started playing with it. Now, when I figured it out, I'm like, oh, this is easy. The algorithms are always changing. So when you're running ads, you may have times where you're like, why is it so different or so low or almost like dead? Nothing's happening. It's because something has changed in the algorithm. So you might just have to create a new ad from scratch, which we talk about.
Yeah.
But it depends. The template that the marketers were using was some type of ridiculously low offer fee, which grabs people's attention. I call it the Groupon method.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get an acupuncture session for $10.
Right.
And Groupon keeps $5, pays you $5. So they were doing ridiculous things. Like my first marketer told me, we're going to do a $21 exam, x-rays, consult, and first adjustment. From Alberta, I was like, are you nuts? Actually, the funniest thing was my first offer was $99.
Yep.
And the associate in the office, I'm like, look at the ad I've created. How do you think this is going to look? He's been there for 10 years. And he's like, Enrico, you know our exam fee is $79, right? I'm like, oh, this is not much of a discount, is it? So I had a $99 offer because I'm using Calgary prices. I'm like, okay, never mind. And then I realized a typical exam down here is $49 or $70. So.
Oh, wow.
Okay, can't do that. So the $21, we tried that with the adjustment, and man, did that bring in some low-quality people because they were all excited about getting adjusted for $21.
Right, they're looking for the deals.
So we learned quick, and that was like a lot of people calling in, a lot of no-shows, but you know what? A lot of new patients, to be honest with you. We probably got 30 the first month. It was good. But actually, it wasn't good. We got a lot of new patients.
Yeah.
Then we cleaned it up. We said, you know, consultation and x-rays if necessary for $21 or $39. And I started playing with the numbers. 21 seems to be a magical number that people, when they're scrolling through their feed, they kind of say doctor or chiropractor, and then 21, they're like, whoa, that sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
Here at least.
Yeah, yeah.
In Canada, the docs that I'm helping in Winnipeg and Edmonton, we've been doing 49 or 69.
Right.
Because they can get, that is a discount up there. So
yeah,
that's it. And that's it. And we played with it and we get a lower number of new patients, but a better quality of new patients because they're not coming in for the adjustment. They're actually coming in because they want a consultation and maybe x-rays,
right,
or something for that lower price. So you just have to remember that this is marketing and you have to grab people's attention. So what the chiropractor wants and thinks of their ideal patient and markets is two different things. There's internal and external marketing. When it comes to external marketing, you're competing against the world. You're competing against salons, barbershops. You know, you're trying to grab people's attention. What's more important, consultation with a chiropractor or your haircut next week?
Right.
It's the truth. It's the truth. We are a business just like anyone else. So it has to be good text. It has to catch their attention. And it has to be an offer that they're willing to click on.
Yeah.
Then you bring it into the next stage of how you capture their information, which we call funneling. So you get all these, you know, million people in your area or in your town, and then you can say to the people who want chiropractic, who click on your ad, and then you bring them to the offer, which they'll funnel in. And that's where the funnel idea comes from.
Yeah.
So then your landing page or however you create it, or your website page or the Facebook page. Now you can do everything on Facebook because Facebook's catching on to all the external applications that are being done out there. And then you capture them, get their information. And this is now called a lead.
Right.
We'll use your podcast to warn chiropractors about the lead is the statistical metric marketers use to determine how effective their ad is getting information.
Right.
Now they leverage that number against chiropractors. It's kind of like how radio stations say how many listeners they have.
That's right.
You have 10 million listeners, but how many people honestly listen on Tuesday morning when they're going to run my ad?
Yeah, totally.
So they tell you, listen, I'm going to get you 300 leads a month. And then you're like, whoa, my CA cannot handle that.
Yeah.
But, and then you realize that's not actual people who are going to book an appointment.
Right.
You may get 10.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So
yeah.
That's what I'm trying to use my Facebook page. And when people call me or email me or text me, this is the information I'm trying to get them. I'm like, it's great how many leads that the marketer wants to get. But as a business owner, how many people are actually going to walk through my front door and pay for service? That's what I want to know.
Right.
So that was kind of the fuel to get this going and tell colleagues and other chiropractors, you know, here, I'll cut all the fluff and give you the truth at the bottom of the line to save you time, effort, and get this done yourself.
That's cool. So it's basically you're setting up an ad for an offer. They go to the lead page, you collect their information, and are they booking an appointment then, or are you then, yeah. Do you call them to set up the appointment, or how does that work?
There's external applications you can put into your lead page or your ClickFunnels or your website that has your clinic schedule, and you can choose the hours that you open up for new patients, and they can choose from that. As a new associate, I opened up my entire schedule because it didn't matter when people booked. I was there for them to take it.
Right.
To be honest with you, after 8 months of doing it, I never had anyone book a 9 and a 9:30, which is, it never did happen. It was a 9 or a 10, an 11 and 2, but you know, if there was 4 in one day. So it was cool to do it that way. But for tighter clinics that have a new associate or condensed new patient times, you can just put that in. Mm-hmm. And just an easier way to get confirmation from the patient. So they'll give you your phone number, email, and name, and then they will pick a time, 9:30 on Friday at your office. And then that is an email that gets sent to your front desk or you, and then you get your CA to call an email to confirm that.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And so is that what you mainly did, like when you got down there? Do you mostly just focus on Facebook ads now, or do you still do any external things where you get out in the community?
Yeah, I went straight to some Scranton local, again, community right around the clinic. There was a summer festival that was there in August in Florida under a tent with a static EMG. But anyways, my first summer here. But yeah, did that, got new patients the organic way, the old fashioned way too.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You do all,
you do
all, everything that you have and that you replicate. The nice thing about this experience is that I'm not a new grad. You know, I've been doing it for 10 years. So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. So what would you say, like, for example, budgeting for Facebook ads, how much would it be a typical month of you doing advertising? And always results are going to be different depending on how your ad copy is, but just maybe give the listeners a little idea of like, what would the ad budget be for a month when you're doing your stuff?
$35 to $110 a week.
Yeah.
So anywhere between $120 to $450 a month is my recommendation.
Yeah.
Some marketers push double that to just increase volume and exposure, which that makes sense.
Yeah.
But another rule, number 36, you can't just double the amount of money you put into this to double the amount of new patients that you get. It's a nonlinear system.
Right.
The algorithms are made that way for impressions and just to get exposure. It does not mean you're going to double your new patients. So if you were spending $500 and you got 7 new patients last month, spending $1,000 will not get you 14. And right. Warning, spending $5,000 will not get you 100. You know, it just doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't quite work that way. So then it organically changed as we started to get new patients and we didn't want to give away the offer anymore. It turned into, you know, consultation with the doctor, or I even tried $19 consultations. Just a low fee, but starting to change the psychology of it a little bit to play more in my favor, where I didn't feel like I was giving away my expertise and my services
for right.
a low rate. And it worked really well because I typically do free consults, you know, free 10-minute consult, and I was getting paid $19 for consults, which is pretty cool.
That's
so when the patient, when the patient comes in, it's like, it's $19. If you want to get started, we got time right now, or you can book tomorrow at 3:30 and we'll take the $19 from today and put it towards your exam. And I'm like, oh, that's great. That's a great idea.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So now you're not giving away anything for free. It's a lot of the upper cervical docs I'm working with. They don't like doing that, you know, because their exam fee is $300. They don't want to give away a $21 exam.
Yeah.
They're going to be taking x-rays, specific x-rays, head clamps. Some of these Blair techniques and Nuka techniques can take half an hour just to do the x-rays. So I don't blame them. I feel for them.
Well, especially if you book someone and they don't show up, right? And then you got a half an hour, you're sitting around. Like, that's
very common with Facebook ads and any type of that type of Groupon. Again, I say that Groupon mentality. Remember, when you put an offer out into the universe, that's what you're going to get.
Right.
So it would make sense to put out your full exam fee or pull out, like, you know, a free consult for a consultation, like your normal to-dos, but just realize that that's not enticing for the Facebook viewer at 10:30 at night scrolling on the couch to entice them to go see a chiropractor. So,
right.
So a typical ad copy is like, hey, Edmonton, you know, headaches suck, right? You know,
yeah.
You put something like that, you would target the 30 to 48 year old females, or that's the cool stuff you can do with Facebook. And you'll see conversions kind of play and change with that. Yeah. So what I do when people call me is I just guide them. I kind of shelf, so there's no prediction or guessing. You know, how many times in chiropractic have you tried to implement a new software or a new strategy or a new technology or a new table? And then the salesman tells you, here's the table, go for it. But you're like, well, what do I do?
Yeah,
like, totally. How, just tell me what to do. I don't want to pick it.
Yeah.
Or a new technology for the office or a new sound system. You're like, don't tell me how to set up the sound system. Set it up so I can hit two buttons and it works, right?
Right.
That's my personality. So that's that's what I'm doing for chiropractic. I'm just like, they call me, they have all these questions. I'm like, you know what? Make me admin of your Facebook page. Make me admin of your ads manager and call me back tomorrow, because tonight I'll set up a whole bunch of ads for you and I'll go through it with you. So we keep them off. And they can go in there like, oh, wow, how did you do that? How'd you do this? And it's way better than the 200 questions that they were going to ask me from the beginning.
100%. That's cool. Yeah. So you are offering the service then to chiropractors?
Yeah.
That's awesome. So if someone wants to contact you and say, hey, I'd like you to set up my stuff for me, how would they do it?
Yeah, find me, Enrico. I mean, if you Google Enrico and chiropractor just on Facebook, I think I pop up. None of my cousins in Italy are chiropractors. So. Yeah, or you put in Facebook Marketing 101 or Facebook Marketing for Chiropractors 101.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, in closing, I always like to give the floor to my guests and just have them give a couple of minutes of inspiration. I think kind of a good target for you, I think, would be some of those chiropractors out there that are just having a hard time getting new people in their door, right? And they're feeling frustrated and they're stagnant. So what kind of words of wisdom or motivation or inspiration could you leave them with?
Yeah, you know, and a chiropractor out of California told me this once. He's like, I was talking to him on the phone. I'm like, you know what I need right now? I just moved to Florida. All I need is new patients. And he's like, Enrico, I'm going to stop you right there. If you are going to move forward with your career saying, I need new patients, it's going to be a miserable future for you. You do not need new patients. What you need is to give the best care to every single patient you have.
Yeah.
And I know it's tough as a new grad to try and start a practice and get new patients and get people to your door, but you be blessed about the people that are in your office already. And if you treat them the best way possible, it's amazing how referrals in Calgary, we were an 85% referral practice.
100%. Yeah.
And the other 15% just found us on Google for trying to find us, our name.
Right.
So really it was a referral based practice. And that's the system that keeps the ball rolling. Then you can play with the other stuff and market and try new things to try and grow your practice, because growth takes a little bit more of the icing on top to really grow. So that's my best advice, is don't start off from a place in the universe of I need.
Right.
You really need nothing. Your patients need you.
Yeah, they need you more than that. Right. That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you very much. That was our dog, Lex, barking in the background. Of course, he's been on about 5 podcast episodes so far, yelling in the background. So, Enrico, thanks so much for being on the call. Haven't had a chance to talk to you since our defeat in Red Deer.
Right. Right.
Our defeat in Red Deer at the Mayweather fight for chiropractic and drugs.
The Red Deer event. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. So everybody out there, you know, look up Enrico. Maybe he could help you set up a little bit of stuff with Facebook ads and help you get like a little bit of fresh blood in your practice. But again, we always say focus on the people you got and be grateful for what you already have. And don't forget to get out there and crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.